Amen. This message was kind of rolling around in my spirit since last year. And I'm just waiting for God to just put everything together. We sat down yesterday afternoon, and things weren't coming together. And I said, God, what do you want to do? You know what he told me? Take a nap. You don't have to tell me that twice. I got in a chair. I made one mistake because I turned on the fireplace, got in the chair. I got a blanket. Next thing I knew, it was 8:45. So God and I were up until about 4:20 this morning, but I'm not tired. I'm charged. Matter of fact, I wasn't tired when I went to bed. I said, let me just lay down anyway, you know, give the appearance of getting of going to bed. No, but I feel great. I feel great. Let's go to John 3. I'm going to share verses 16 and 17 out of the Message Bible. This is our launching point every service. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his only son, and this is why. So that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help. Tell your neighbor, he came to help. Tell your neighbor, so should you. He came to put the world right again. Put the world right. Now, I believe every word that's ever been spoken concerning this ministry. I believe it. I believe every word, and I mean every word God spoke, not some of the words that people spoke. Words that came from God, I believe. And I also believe, based on some conversations I've had with God, that this year, we're going to accomplish some great things. I think you believe that also. But He told me to tell you that in the midst of those great things, those great accomplishments, we're going to have to face persecution. That's harassing and oppressive treatment, especially because of who we say we are. We're going to have trials. That's defined as suffering or grievous experiences, a distressed or painful state. And we're going to have tribulation. And that definition didn't thrill me at all. That means severe trials. Okay. Severe trials. And I was like, wait a minute, Lord. First thing we're going to accomplish great things, then you tell us we're going to have great problems. And he said, look at Mark. So that's what I want you to do. Look at Mark 10. I'm going to start at verse 28. Then Peter began to say to him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. The Message Bible, he says, mark my words. No one who sacrifices house, brothers, sisters, mother, father, children, land, whatever, because of me and the message will lose out. No one will ever lose out. They'll get it all back, but multiplied many times in homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and land, but also in troubles. And then the bonus, of eternal life. Jesus said, you know, this is a scripture I quote frequently. This is in the Amplified Bible. He said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you have tribulation and trials and distress. A matter of fact, this says, and distresses and frustration. Anybody experience them? But be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Be certain. Be undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have taken away its power to harm you, and I've conquered it for you. See, all of those things God summed up in one word, all trials and tribulations and frustration, adversity. Because adversity is defined as distress, affliction, hardship, an unfortunate event or incident, unfavorable fortune or fate, a condition marked by misfortune, calamity, or distress. Who likes that? Just look and see if I have to pray for folks right now. Okay, all right. See, we don't like it, but if we're going to walk in all that God promised, we're going to have to deal with it. Over the Christmas, over the Christmas holiday, we had me and Micah with us, and Micah told us a joke. And I didn't know it then, but the joke has bearing for what God wants to say today. He came and he said, Grandpa. I said, yes. He said, why wouldn't 6 stand next to 7 in the line? I'm like, why? I said, why? He said, because 7, 8, 9. Because 7, 8, 9. But now think about it, all right? He didn't say, 6 didn't say 7 tried to eat him. Okay, he didn't say that. 6 said 7, 8, 9, so I'm not getting in line next to 7. Because if he ate 9, what's he going to do to me? Okay, if I stand next to him. Okay. 6 had a specific place in the line. 6 was designed to be in that place. But because 7 got hungry, and 8, 9, 6 refused to walk into his God-ordained position because of the threat that something might happen to him. He was too concerned about 7. And so he refused his destiny because he thought something was going to happen to him based on the reputation of the person whom God was placing him next to. How many of us walk away from where we are supposed to be because of adversity, either natural or perceived? So we're going to do a series. We're beginning a series called Overcoming Adversity. Because if we're going to be prosperous, we're going to have to know how to overcome adversity, because adversity is coming along with the prosperity. And the title of this morning's message is Your Circumstance Is Not Your World. Look at Hebrews 11. Turn to Hebrews 11, verse 6. We'll have to learn how to handle all the 7, 8, 9 reports that you get. Some folks that are afraid to take trips to Israel because they think ISIS is after them. If they are and you go because God sent you, they'd be cooled off. Hebrews 11, verse 6, beginning with verse 6, says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must do what? You must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who do what? Diligently seek him. So if you're dealing with adversity, you have to first believe that God exists. If you're going to handle circumstances, you better believe that God exists. I'll tell you why it's important. See, if God exists, you believe that God exists, then everything that God said or did also has to exist. So if God exists and you believe it, then Jesus exists. And since Jesus exists, everything that he said has to be so. Because if it's not so, then he's not really Jesus, and then it wouldn't matter. But because we believe it, it's so. And if what he said is so, then everything he said concerning me is also true. And I have everything that he says I have. We have to understand that because adversity is coming. And if you don't know who you are and you don't know who's supporting you, you'll give in to the reverse, to the adversity. See, because since we know Jesus is real, then we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We have the victory in Christ Jesus. With the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. Because of Christ, I am a new creature. None of those things would matter if we didn't believe that. So since that's critical to what we believe, then we also have to understand that the enemy is going to come and try and change what we think. Because if he can change what we think, he can change the way we act. And he'll make us like six. We won't get in line because we'll be afraid something's going to happen to us. But 1 Corinthians 12:18, please. And then this is out of the voice. Because this is what I want us to understand today. And I'm moving quickly because there's a place I want to get to. Verse 18, voice translation. This is where God comes in. God has meticulously put this body together. He placed each part in the exact place to perform the exact function he wanted. Each of you, God put you exactly where he wants you for a very specific purpose. And we have to get into the habit where we just focus on that and stop looking at the opposition and stop looking at the person to our left or right to see what they're doing, to see if they're lining up with what we think they should be doing, especially since we're not the ones who gave them the information in the first place. Jeremiah 29:11 lets you know where it came from. I'm still in the voice. God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Eternal. Plans for peace, not evil, to give you a future and hope." Never forget that. Never. But I want you to consider something. And guys, you can. Hebrews 11:3 says, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God." How is the world framed? So since the world was framed by the word of God, there must be a very specific purpose because God framed the world. The Amplified Bible says, "By faith, that is with an inherent trust and enduring confidence in the power, wisdom, and goodness of God, we understand that the worlds, the universe, the ages were framed and created, formed, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God." By the word of God. Now, let me tell you something about the word framed. The concordance says it means to put in order, to arrange, to adjust. It means framed. It also means to strengthen, to perfect, to complete. I like this next one. To make one what he ought to be. God made the world what the world was supposed to be, ought to be, and he made us what we ought to be. Because if the world was framed by the word of God, guess what? We are framed by the word of God. The dictionary says framed means a structure for admitting or enclosing something. And pay close attention to this definition. A particular state of mind. It also means framed. God has a particular purpose for each of us. And he's given us a particular state of mind so we can accomplish that purpose. We call it the mind of Christ. The enemy knows this, but just like six in that joke, we allow other things to reframe our world. We know the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy because he doesn't want us to achieve what God wants. So he sends adversity because he can't physically put his hands on you. You do know that. You become victims of your own mind. We become victims of our own mind because we look and pay attention to the adversity, to the circumstances, and we don't focus on what God said. I am not, hear me clearly, I am not saying that circumstances don't exist. I am not saying that they're comfortable. I am not saying that they can't be disruptive. They can be all of those things if you let it. And that's the part we don't understand. Just because it's a circumstance doesn't mean it has to upset where we're supposed to go. Doesn't mean it. I mean, we're driving down the street, nice smooth road, all of a sudden the road gets bumpy. You say, forget this, I'm going back home. No, you keep going. You may make a little adjustment. You know, instead of driving at 65, you may slow down to 50. Hopefully. If you value the car, God bless you, if you will. All right. But you'll get there. You'll keep going. You will get there. But what we do is that a circumstance will come and we stop. Because we don't want to go through anything. So I don't like it. You don't have to like it. You just have to overcome it. That's all. I've overcome a lot of things that I didn't like. And a whole lot of people that I didn't like. None of you here. This is, you're talking about before Christ. See, because the devil knows. You know, we talk about him as being dumb and all that. He's not. He's not. And if you think he's dumb, you're in trouble because you've underestimated your adversary. Okay. The devil knows. He knows, folks, that circumstances will cause whatever is really in us to come out. He knows it. We think we can hide things. But the devil knows they get pushed for hard enough, far enough, squeezed tight enough. Who they really are will come out. Look at Proverbs 24. I didn't want to share these two scriptures. But God said, oh, you're going to use these as a circumstance? I'm like, no. Didn't you say you'll say what I tell you? I said, yes, okay, I'm going to say it. Because I don't want anyone to feel that we're beating up on him. What I'm doing is I'm encouraging you. I'm letting you know what's coming so that we can be ready for it. Proverbs 24:10 in the Message Bible says, if you fall to pieces in a crisis, there wasn't much to you in the first place. Okay? It means we weren't all that. The Living Bible says, you're a poor specimen if you can't stand the pressure of adversity. We are made in the image and likeness of God. And we've been given authority by God. And he expects that we act like it. And when we don't act like it, we're not giving a good representation of who God is. That's why it says we're a poor specimen if we can't stand the pressure. See, the devil is hoping that we haven't meditated in the word day and night. He's hoping we haven't studied to show ourselves approved. He's hoping that we don't know how to rightly divide the word. That's what he's counting on, folks. That's the only thing he has. Because if we haven't done those things, we won't know who we are. And when the circumstance comes, we won't know what to do. And it will redefine, it will reframe our world. See, adversity comes in so many ways. Who's helping me? We're one of our young people. Oh, that's right, they went into SKA. Yeah. Pierre, would you help me out, please? Now, Pierre is not the adversary. Okay, he's just helping me out, okay? Because God gave me this world. He placed me here where I have unlimited potential. I can move about freely doing the things that he wants me to do, and I have all of these people that I can influence, that I can help get their relationships stronger. The enemy does not want that to happen, so he gets in your face. He just gets in your face, and because, you know, I'm not sure of who I am, I start reckoning. I look at his eyes, I start backing away. He keeps advancing. But all the while he's advancing, he's maneuvering me into a different place, into a place where I may not necessarily want to be, but I think I have no choice because he won't get out of my face. You can lock that behind me. So he puts me. And because of what I'm going through of him, I have now reframed my world. Because of what he's doing in my life, I no longer have access to everybody because now I don't trust folks. I don't trust them now. See, because he made me remember that I got molested when I was a child. So now nobody's going to do that to me again. So I'm not going out there where God wants me. I'm staying in this little world. See, I'm in this little world because, you know, I'm really married. I'm married to Deacon Phyllis, but for the purpose of this, you know, I'm single and I want to be married. And so I just can't deal with anybody. Or maybe your boyfriend or girlfriend said it's quits. Maybe you got fired. Didn't get the raise. Whatever it is. Whatever it was that came, it comes as racism. So I'm not going to deal. No. You see what they did? I hate the police. Your world has been redefined, reframed, because you allowed the adversary to bring circumstances and push you into his world, not God's world. And I just stay in here and I get mad. And I start murmuring. God, I thought you said that you'd work all things together for my good. God, I'm your child. I go around, I do all the things you tell me to do. And look where I am. Look, I can't do anything. I might as well just get comfortable here. Do you at least have room service? Something, you know. Because I'm not coming out. I can't trust anybody. You tell me to go next to 7 and he ate 9. And I'm not doing it, God. And my whole world has been reframed because of something I've gone through and mishandled. I forgot that Jesus gave me power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing can by any means harm me. I forgot those things, and I allowed myself to reframe my world because of a circumstance. When all I have to do is the same thing Paul and Silas did. When they got put in a prison. All glory to you, Father. We thank you. Lord, the prison's coming down. Lord, the prison's coming down. See, God will send his angel. And now he'll not only move the adversary out of the way. Okay. But he also has some that'll just knock down the walls. Okay. And all I have to do is just step over them and come back like they don't even exist. See, that's all I have to do. But in order to do that, I have to know who I am. And I have to say something with this mouth. The funny thing happened to me on Friday. Had a dental appointment. They want to do a cleaning. And they said, well, you know, your gum's a little irritated. We want to give you a fluoride treatment. I'm like, what's that? I never had a fluoride treatment. I don't like needles. You know. They said, no, we just apply it. I said, all right, go ahead, do it. They did it. They didn't tell me it was sticky. So now I'm going, I close my lips. Then I can't open them. I did. I took a selfie and sent it to my son. He told it to my grandchildren. They were laughing about it. And I was like, look like the guy on The Matrix. Okay. Well, see, that's what the circumstance tries to do. He doesn't want you to say anything. I had to force my mouth open. I had to force it. Just get it open. And you start speaking out what God has said. You start reminding the circumstance that just like God delivered you 2 years ago, he's going to deliver you from this right now. And you just keep on praising him. See, that's what we have to do if we're going to overcome adversity, and we're going to not let circumstances frame our world. Can you imagine? See, we get upset about things really because we idolize them. Before I met then Phyllis Gray, I was married, I had 3 sons, and my world was my sons. Not my wife and my sons, it was my 3 sons. They were my world. They're why I got up. They are why I went to work. They're why I worked the way I did and kept moving up, because I wanted to supply for my sons. Mm-hmm. Problem. Their mother and I divorced. And it wasn't a nice divorce. And so now I don't get to see my sons. And I'm devastated. I can't handle it the way I handled everything else, because I wasn't going to beat their mother up. So my primary weapon, this, was gone. All right. So what happened? I couldn't see my sons. So my whole attitude about people changed. And I became dangerous. Because I don't know what a short fuse is. Mine was shorter. Okay? I'm serious. I went from happy to violent rage in a nanosecond. Period. And I didn't like it because it was unlike me, but I didn't know what else to do. I tried drugs 3 times. That didn't do it. And God wouldn't allow that to happen, even though I wasn't acknowledging him as God. But what I didn't know is that I didn't know I had made them idols. I didn't know what was happening to me. All I knew was that my world was shattered. And I was mad. And so I went from being faithful, because I was faithful to my marriage, but I changed. I became faithful to me. And it became all about me because of what I went through I treated people differently, especially women. I mean, that's who I became. Because I didn't know what else to do. We do. See, we have unlimited potential. But if we allow circumstance to reframe us, we no longer have unlimited potential. Our potential becomes very limited. Really, it's we don't have any potential because we won't do anything. We have to understand that just because we're going through a circumstance doesn't mean life stops. Doesn't mean you stop. If you read Nehemiah, when it talks about the rebuilding of the wall, and you had the Amorites and these other folks that didn't want them to finish, and while they were working, they were threatened, they were mocked, they were ridiculed. You know, I mean, we get upset when we're told to work, we can't mention the name of Jesus. We go all to pieces. These folks are working for God, rebuilding the wall, and you have these folks making fun of them. So even if a fox run on it, it'll fall down. You know, that was the way you dissed people back in those days. Okay. But even though that, they said, "Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for prey in the land of the captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders." So they prayed. And after they prayed, it says, they built the wall. So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together until the half thereof, for the people had a mind. I know it says to work, but God stopped me at the people had a mind. They had a mind. They heard the instructions from God, and they purposed in their mind to do them, even though they were facing opposition. God said, see, they didn't lose their mind because of the opposition. They had a mind, and that their mind did not change because they were ridiculed. They maintained their purpose, and they completed what God said. They knew their assignment was from God. The early church, as Deacon Elder Bill shared, I was amazed how prayer service and everything that happened today was all interconnected. The early church, those folks went through some adversity. How many of you have been beaten and flogged because you believe and you teach the word? Well, how many of you had felt like you were beaten and flogged? Okay. Right. But they were beaten, bloodied. Some were murdered. They were threatened. Do not preach in the name of Jesus. They prayed. And between Acts 4 and 5 or 3 and 4, 8,000 people came to Christ. 8,000, because they would not let the adversity reframe their world. They understood what their purpose was and why they were placed where they were placed. And no matter what came, they stayed true. They didn't allow adversity to reframe their mind. I want to tell you this, and then I'm going to stop for now. Let's go back to Proverbs 24. Verse 10 again. King James, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. The Amplified, if you are slack, careless In the day of distress, your strength is limited. Jubilee Bible 2000. If thou art slack in a day of tribulation, thy strength shall be reduced. And God showed me that the key, not only to overcome adversity, but to preventing our world from being reframed by circumstance, strength. Spiritual strength. He's saying, if you allow your world to be reframed, you aren't strong to begin with. There are two things about strength we need to know. Nehemiah 8:10 tells us one of them. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Tell that to your neighbor. See, we have to have joy no matter what comes. And I found out that no thing, no circumstance can prevent you from having joy. You can decide to have joy anytime you want to. And every time you have joy, you become strengthened. You become strengthened. I'm telling you, someone walk up to you, you stand, they wind up and they unload, bang, with everything that's in them, and you look at them and start laughing and dancing around. I guarantee you they're not going to hit you again. Okay. You're going to see this as they're running away. Okay. But look at Ephesians 6. And I guess translators don't have much to do because they took the Amplified Bible and changed it. Now you have the Amplified Bible and the Amplified Bible Classic Edition. It's like, just leave it alone. Okay. But this is the Classic Edition, which is the original Amplified Bible. Okay. It says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Doesn't say try to be. It says be strong. That means you have a choice. Be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him. That strength which is boundless, which his boundless might provides. But here's how you be strong in the Lord. Put on the whole armor. Just put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavy-armed soldier, which God supplies, that you may be able to stand up against all the strategies and the deceits of the devil. All of them. No matter how he comes, if you are strong in the Lord and you put on all the armor of God, you can stand toe-to-toe and not even flinch. Says, we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. Therefore, put on God's complete armor, his complete armor, that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on evil day of danger. Six should have walked right up and said, you may have ate nine, but you're not eating me. Okay. I belong in the line right next to five. And you're not taking me out of my spot. Stand there. Hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins, and put on the breastplate of integrity and of moral rectitude. Stop using circumstances as an excuse to sin. You don't have to, no, you don't. You want to. And circumstance gave you the perfect excuse. The enemy knows what's real, what you really want to do will come out if he puts the squeeze on you. Right? And having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with the firm-footed stability, the promptness and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel, by the gospel of peace. Lift up over all a covering shield of saving faith upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles. I like that translation because it doesn't say darts. You know, we're not afraid of a dart, but it says flaming missiles of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, knowing that you're saved. So you're always in a win-win situation. And the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the word of God. Pray at all times, on every occasion, in the Spirit. Every occasion, in every single season, no matter what you're facing, pray in the Spirit. Why? You'll keep building up your strength and you'll hear your answer. You'll know what to do. With all manner of prayer and entreaty, to that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. Message Bible. Same translation. I mean, same scripture. It says, and that about wraps it up. God is strong and he wants you strong. So take everything the master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps. A life and death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get. Every weapon God has issued so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. That's why I'm always telling you, you won't impress me because you've memorized the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Show me that you can make one scripture work for you. Right. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Why? Because you're not thinking about yourself. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. By faith, we understand, folks, that the world was framed by the word of God, equipped for its intended purpose by the word of God. Don't you dare let circumstance or adversity frame your world. God allowed our world to be framed by Christ. Let's keep it that way. Now, I'm going to ask you to stand because there's a song God told me to share with you. I'm not going to sing it. It's going to come over the system. Everybody say, I'm going to start praying in the Spirit now. But while that song is playing, guys, would you just move those things back for me, please? You're looking in the mirror now. While you're listening, singing, following the words, however, and you know that you've allowed circumstances to reframe your world. And you've been acting accordingly. I need you to leave your seat and come down here. I'm going to minister to you. But you have to be willing. The devil cannot keep you in that new world that you created. You want out? When the song's playing, you come on down. As a matter of fact, you don't have to wait for the song to start. If you already know you want out, you can start coming now. You can sing the song from the floor. It doesn't matter to me. All that matters is you are no longer going to allowing a circumstance, no matter when it happened in your life, you're no longer going to allow that to now reframe your world. You want your world to go back to the way God framed it in the first place. Mm-hmm. He framed it, he looked at it, and he said, this is very good. Mm-hmm. And that's the world in which he placed us.
All right.
And if a circumstance has caused you to move out of that world, come down here, because we're getting you back in.